the story of Saul's encounter with God on the road to Damascus is powerful and dramatic. Saul of Tarsus was a learned Jew, a zealous Jew, and he was one of the persecutors of the early followers of Jesus, known as the Way. And as he's on the road to Damascus, he is blinded by an intense light and he falls to the ground. A voice says to him when he is on the ground, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And Saul says, "Who are you, Lord?" And Jesus identifies himself as the source of the voice and as the one that Saul has been persecuting, as he has been persecuting Jesus' followers. For 3 days, Saul is sightless. He's known to the Gentiles as Paul, but Saul is sightless until a follower of Jesus named Ananias is directed by God to come and bring him healing, to lay hands on him and restore his sight. Saul recovers his sight, and then he's baptized. I have a book on my shelf titled Famous Conversions, and some of them are as dramatic as Saul's, and others are a little more subtle or less dramatic, like that of John Wesley, who the leader of the Methodists, originally an Anglican, who felt his heart strangely warmed. While Saul's conversion makes for a good story or a movie script, it can be a little intimidating to those of us who have had a long, slow, halting introduction to Jesus and the Christian life, including backsliding, doubt, and fear. In comparison to Saul, we might feel like saying, "Hey God, what am I? Chopped liver, no blinding light, no scales coming from my eyes. Where is the drama?" While Saul's story is often referred to as a conversion story, I understand it as more of a call story, a story of a new vocation, a new focus that God was calling Saul to. I don't think that Saul was called to completely abandon his former life and his former beliefs. Rather, I think that God is calling Saul to go deeper into the culmination of all that he had believed and hoped for. Now, in this story, we never learn why Jesus and his followers were such a threat to Saul. Why was Saul persecuting them and having them imprisoned? Was it Jesus' claim to be the Messiah? Possibly. Was it the political dimensions of Jesus' message? Was it the fact that the good news that Jesus was preaching was so expansive, so generous, that it broke all the rules that Saul so treasured? Now, have you ever known anyone like Saul? Please raise your hand if you have. I actually dated someone like Saul for a while, probably the worst year of my life. And let me tell you, he was a confident and charismatic person, but incredibly hard to be with. He was always right, and you were always wrong. He knew the answer to everything. He wanted to save the world, but he treated individual people like dirt. My guess is that Saul was well-educated. Well, we know he was. He was confident that he was the top student in Hebrew school, and he knew the scriptures and teachings of his faith forward and backward. He would have won Hebrew Trivial Pursuit every time. He was zealous for the cause. And yet, when it came to his relationships with others, his tolerance for their imperfections, his inability to live with gray areas, Saul was severely challenged. In Saul's day, the Christian faith was a way of life, thus the way. It was a way of life that inspired individuals and communities to leave the safe confines of home and house church to walk on the road that they felt God calling them to. Their faith was a living, active way of life. I think the name The Way is a powerful metaphor for Christian identity. While the original followers of Jesus believed that he was the Messiah, or the spiritual leader that God had promised them for so many years, and that his death and resurrection meant that nothing could separate them from God's love, the faith communities known as The Way were known by how they lived in the world. Because they were followers of The Way, their lives were distinct from the people around them. They made a difference in the communities they lived in. Saul's encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus results in his walking in a new way, taking a new road based on God's leading. It doesn't involve a rejection of his Jewish roots, but a new way of understanding who God is and what God is up to in the world. It truly involves seeing the world with new eyes. When Saul's sight was restored, he was able to see life and God's role in it in a whole new light. When I first learned about Jesus in high school and began to learn how to pray, began to read the Bible, and when I was first in conversation with Christians, with other followers of Jesus, I thought that my whole personality and being would have to change. I thought that becoming a follower of Jesus meant that I would have to give up everything that was a part of my former life. And I spent some time trying to do that. And it didn't work. While each of us is called to allow ourselves to be transformed by God, that transformation, I think, involves the fulfillment of who God created us to be. Rather than replacing our former selves with something different, we're called to become more fully ourselves, to use our gifts, passions, our resources, our personality for God's glory, not our own. We're called to follow Jesus' way in our own time and context. We're called to participate in God's work with our full, unique selves. God took all of Saul's passion and zeal, his knowledge of the Hebrew Scriptures, his love for God and what was true and right, and even Saul's thorn in the flesh, whatever it was, and he used all these things for God's glory. God didn't erase Saul's past, but built on it. God used Saul's past to help him build bridges with others. God also pushed Saul to go past his comfort zone and had him work primarily with the group of people that he formerly thought were unclean, the Gentiles. At the same time, God called a disciple of Jesus, follower or learner in the way of Jesus, Ananias, to go past his comfort zone and to baptize a man who had persecuted and imprisoned his fellow believers. The fact that Ananias is able to call Saul brother in this passage after some debate with God shows the power of the way of life to which Jesus calls his followers. Where has God met you? If you're like me, it probably wasn't a dramatic encounter on a road, including a blinding light and falling down, but perhaps you met God in the hospital as your loved one was struggling for dear life. Perhaps you met God in the love someone else had for you. Perhaps you saw God in the life of one of Jesus' followers who made tough and generous choices in the midst of difficult circumstances. Perhaps you experienced God's presence in more subtle ways, in a gentle reassurance, a sense of peace when you least expected it, a nudge to reach out to someone you knew was hurting in some way. May we, the people of St. Matthew's, be open to God's disorienting and reorienting presence and movement in our lives and world. Amen.